Today's Bible study is on Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 8. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your light will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. What is God saying here to the Israelites? Is he changing the rules of the fast? Is he adding extra criteria that the Israelites must follow? They've been fasting, but it's not enough. They've also got to take on practical action to help the poor and the oppressed. I don't think that's what he's doing. As they're fasting, their heart attitude is wrong, and they're doing things not in line with his will as they're fasting. They're oppressing the poor. And they're exploiting people on their fast days. And his challenge to them is to fast motivated by love, not to do things out of religiosity, and just to do things motivated by his love and encouraging them to show his love as they fast. I know I can often do things like this, like when I fast or when I give to the poor or when I do something that I feel like I should do, I do it because like that's what you're supposed to do, and it's almost like ticking off a list of something that I should do as a good Christian. So this makes me feel good. It's a task I can tick off. I've done this. I've done my Christian duty for the day, and therefore I don't need to worry anymore, and I can go back to doing whatever I like because my Christian duty bit is full. It's done. I can take a bit of time out now, and do things in my own way again. But God's challenge is to do things from the heart and not to do things because I feel I should, but do things motivated by his love. So how do we do this? So if we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, there was a man who came to Jesus and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus asked, "What is written in the law?" And the man answered, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." So that is what God commands us, to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength and with all our mind. So it's with our whole being that we should love him, and everything we do, we love him. And out of this comes that we love our neighbour as ourself. And then the man asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" And Jesus replies, "A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." So the priest and the Levite, the ones who we would expect to do the right thing, they saw the man, but they hurried on by. They were probably too busy. They probably thought, "What can I do to help? This man is... his needs too great. I can't help. I've got too many other important things to do." And I can be like this often. I can see people in need and I just feel like I don't have the resources to help. I've got too many things to go to. I can't stop now. I'm on my way to work. But the Samaritan, he stopped. He looked at the man. He saw him. He took pity on him and he helped. So how did the Samaritan do this? How did the Samaritan do what the priest and the Levite failed to do, where the priest and the Levite just carried on going? I think it starts with love. God's command is to love him and love our neighbours as much as we love ourselves. I often find it easy to see my own needs. I can see that what I need, what I want to do, and I can ask God to help me and provide for me. But as God changes us, he'll open our eyes to those around us. So I can often be like the priest and the Levite. I'll hurry past because I'm distracted by my own problems, my own needs, and what I have to do and what I've kind of planned out in my day. I can just focus on that and not focus on, not see what's going on around me, not see others and not see their needs. But the Samaritan, he stopped. You can, in verse 35, the Samaritan saw the man. He and took pity on him. So he paused to look at him. He saw him, saw he was a man like himself. He probably looked him in the eye and allowed himself to be moved. He emphasised with him. He allowed his day to be interrupted to help. I can often pass people by in the street who are asking for help, people asking for money or food. I make excuses like, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. Their need is far too great. I wouldn't know what to say to them. And how can I help them anyway? Like, I could maybe give them some money, but that's not going to help them. They'll probably just go and spend it on something like drugs or drink. But the challenge is to stop, to look, to make eye contact, see them as a person, ask God to help me, show me where I can show his love, emphasize with them. Ask God. God's promise is that he will give everything as everything we need. Where I don't know what to do or say, where I don't have the resources, God will help us. Isaiah 58 verse 9, it says, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. As we do his will, he will answer. He will say, here I am. I'm here. I'm ready to help you. In verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. So this is God's promise to us. I often look at people who seem to be able to manage to do so many more good things than me and wonder how they manage it. How do they keep going without burning out, without it being a religious act, something they're doing because it needs doing and no one else has volunteered? I can often do things because I feel like I should, and I will get resentful after a while. I'll get tired. I'll get fed up. And how do people do this without getting tired, without getting fed up that no one's helping? How do we continue to do these things, continue to act out of God's love? The answer is here, that God will help us. He will give us the grace to do his will without getting tired or angry or bitter, but we will be motivated by his love and by his grace. If we fix our eyes on him, he will show us. He will show us what he wants us to do. He will show us how he sees people, how he sees situations. And we'll be motivated by his love. And we will change things because of this. Not by doing the things in the way we think we should do them and doing them out of our own resources that are finite and imperfect. But if we do them out of God's resources and we partner with him, he will allow us to move in his power and in his love. And that is the way we will see things change. And the promise is, as we do this, Isaiah 58 verse 12 says, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. As we act out of his love, we'll see his restoration. He'll give us all we need to see his kingdom break out around us. What does that mean where we are? Is it the poor being provided for, the hungry fed, the homeless housed? Is it people being healed? Is it people with mental health problems being restored? Is it attitudes changing in your workplace, people acting out of love instead of ambition? Is it peace in your family? Is it peace in your relationships? Whatever it is, whatever the situation is, where God's kingdom needs to break out, he will give us the resources we need to be able to do this. So as we go into this week, let's ask God to help us to keep our eyes fixed on him. Allow ourselves to be interrupted by his agenda so that we can see where he is working, where he is moving. We can see people, we can love people, and we can help people, but not motivated by a sense of duty, a sense of obligation, but motivated by his love. So let's ask God to help us to keep our eyes fixed on him and to love people, just to love people wherever we are and whatever situation we find ourselves in.